Hey friends, you're in for a special treat today. We've got author, podcaster, and columnist Hedia Miramati Falco. She's with us today and has a book out called Living Fearless in Christ. So much to talk about. That's coming up.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey friends, welcome. What I left out was the subtitle of Hedia's book. It is Why I Left Islam to Win Battles for the Kingdom. Oh my goodness, she had me at Living Fearless in Christ. Let me give you a little bit of her background. She's a columnist for the Christian Post. Her book was, the foreword was written by Pastor Jack Hibbs. He's a friend of the podcast. And she has a really extensive career. She's from Southern California, but she began her career in 1995 as an FBI informant, helping identify pockets of radicalization in California, and she later moved to D.C., was appointed as a senior advisor to the U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan. Also, she, over her career, countering violent extremism, she was working on that agenda. She was appointed a senior advisor to FBI headquarters, where she was tasked to scale and replicate the program she built in the private sector. Ultimately, the FBI's focus shifted to Russiagate and later the alleged and inflated threat from right-wing extremism. But now she's back in California. She's got a podcast. She's got a book, Living Fearless in Christ. And it's so good to connect with her. Hedia Miramati Falco. I got it right, didn't I? Welcome.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, David, for having me. It's really a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. It's so great that we connected. And you are also on Real Life Network, Jack Hibbs, Real Life Network. People can hear the podcast.
Yes.
Well, let's just start by, we're going to get into your background and your conversion, but tell us about your podcast and where people can hear you.
Sure. It's called The Living Fearless Devotional, and we're on YouTube, but we're also on the Real Life Network, which is Pastor Jack's network. It's a variety of content there. There's movies, there's podcasts, there's biblical theology, sermons, is all kinds of content that you can find there for Christian living.
And I want to mention your website, resurrectministry.com. I love it. Resurrectministry.com. Do you have any other websites? I know you're on Facebook and other places. Your book is on Amazon.
Yeah, all my social media. That website contains all my content. So anything that people want to know about me, it's on that website. And also, I want to point out to your listeners that we have a comment section where they can drop me a line. I counsel parents from all over the world that are dealing with kids that are trying to leave Christianity for Islam. And so I try to help them navigate away from that. And even if their kids have already turned, basically strengthening them and encouraging them on how they can win their kids back.
Wow. Phenomenal. So also your podcast co-host, tell us about Andy. He's a former police officer, right?
Yes, he's a former police officer. And interestingly, he describes himself as a Christian in name only for 25 years. And then he had a radical encounter with the Lord, became spirit filled. And about a year later, we both met. We met at Pastor Jack's church in line for a conference.
That's awesome.
We have not been separated since. So
that's
we've been
married
over 4 years.
Great story. Praise God. Well, let's go back now. And this is really fascinating. You were a practicing and devout Muslim for over 20 years.
Yes.
So did you live in the Middle East or were you in California? Tell us about your story and then your conversion, please.
Sure. I was in California. I was raised actually as a secular Iranian. My parents came, immigrated in the 60s to live the American dream. We were not raised with religion whatsoever, but I kind of had this fast and furious lifestyle in Beverly Hills. And in college, I started to have a yearning for a relationship with God. I had no Christian friends whatsoever. And so I had no context really for Christianity. And my father was, you know, why don't you become a Muslim? It's culturally most appropriate for you. And that's what I did. I first encountered a very extremist mosque and they were anti-Semitic and anti-American. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. I want nothing to do with this. And then I ended up finding a Sufi community, which is a mystical branch of Islam. And it's really where I felt I belonged and where I felt that it was a religious doctrine that I could take part in. And I realized in being part of that community, I had stepped into the struggle for the soul of Islam. So these Sufi Muslims were being persecuted around the world. They were being massacred, hung from trees, basically as the jihadis were moving in across Middle East, South Asia, North Africa to take over those territories. And so I was fascinated by that struggle. It was the mid-90s, kids were going over to fight in Bosnia and Afghanistan. And I thought, what in the world would motivate an American Muslim kid to go and fight overseas? And that's basically where my career began.
Wow, fascinating. So what brought you to Jesus, being raised like that and deciding to go, and even being exposed to the radical side of Islam, which from what I understand, if you're truly devoutly following the Quran, it is going to lean toward jihad. Is that not right?
Well, so the Sufis are a mystical branch. It's a normative practice of Islam. So it's a very mystical, and it's a reformist version. So they believe in the abrogation of scripture so that their earlier verses about jihad were abrogated, they were nullified. And then later they reinterpret the scripture about beating women. And they say, no, that's not true. That's not what that meant. And so it's a very, very liberal interpretation. Hmm. And because my religion and professional career were so intertwined, I really didn't give it much thought. It wasn't until I'm at FBI headquarters, I'm traveling the nation, speaking to Joint Terrorism Task Force, helping them to identify radicalization. And I thought, I'm just tired of wearing a head cover. I figured it just wasn't necessary. I felt like it was hindering me. And so I took my head cover off and I suddenly received all of this negativity and claims that I was going to hell for the rest of my life. I mean, you know, spend an eternity in hellfire. And I thought to myself, how could I worship a God that's going to punish me for an eternity for a piece of fabric? And I left Islam. You know, I had no relationship with Jesus. I hadn't met Jesus yet. It wasn't until I get back to Southern California. My father was not well. And so he had asked me to move back and to help him with his healthcare enterprise. And I found a tweet from a girl I didn't even know who said, my pastor changed my life. And I clicked on the link and it was preaching the simple gospel. Jesus loves you, turn to him, repent of your sins. He defeated death, hell, sin, and the grave, and you will spend an eternity with him as your Lord and Savior. And I was like, that is beautiful. That's so simple. Why didn't anybody tell me this before? Nobody had ever witnessed to me. I had 20 plus years of interfaith activity. I went into churches constantly for interfaith activities, and nobody told me who the real Jesus was.
Can we pause right there for a second? You went into churches, you were in interfaith activities or events, and nobody shared the gospel and told you about the Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life.
And I'm talking, I was at the highest levels. So I was running a DHS-funded countering violent extremism program. It's the name that Obama gave to fighting terrorism. It was during the rise of ISIS. We had all these homegrown violent extremist kids that were turning to jihadism. Yeah. And so at the highest levels, I was dealing with priests and reverends and people that pastors. There were no evangelicals, though. I'll tell you that. It was basically just the Episcopal Church and the Catholic Church. But nobody told me, hey, you know, what is your concept of Jesus? Let me explain to you what the Bible says. Not a single person.
So when you heard the good, I mean, there's the gospel is so full and robust. It's got, of course, the love of God, but it's also got justice and judgment. And it's right. And that is part of the truth, what we're saved from sin. And you heard that, and now you are with him. It's just amazing. I want to just ask you about your book now briefly. We've got to just take a break in a few minutes. But, of course, Pastor Jack Hibbs wrote the foreword. But tell us about the cover. And, Living Fearless in Christ, you haven't been – how many years have you been a Christian?
A little over 7 years.
So that's not a long time.
No,
And so to put out a book like this, to have a podcast, to get it, really, and I know that you've been vetted because you're on Real Life Network. So that's pretty amazing. So share a little bit about the book cover, Living Fearless, because Christians need to be able to do this.
Sure. So the four living creatures from the book of Revelation, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And it's just a verse I recite daily. It is part of just my Christian living. And when I came to write the book, the Lord just put it on my heart that it has to be the four living creatures. And so we had a contest, an art contest, and this was the winner.
It is fascinating. It's great. Great cover. Excellent cover. So it is available on Amazon. I'm sure they can get information on your website, resurrectministry.com as well, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So when you started coming to church, a true Christian church, right, hearing more, not just the gospel, now you've been saved and you believe, right? Now you're starting to equip yourself or get equipped, hopefully by pastors and the Bible, reading the Bible. Any insights you want to share about you as a former Muslim, understanding obviously the Quran, right?
And
the Hadith and other things. Anything else you want to share about that? That must have been an interesting transformation.
Absolutely. So the Lord brought me first to Romans, and between Romans and Genesis, he basically was helping me unlearn everything that I had been taught from the Quran, as opposed to the truth of the Bible. So whether it's the difference between Isaac and Ishmael, how the covenant passes, what doctrine, the foundational doctrine of what it means to be a Christian, that I found in Romans. And I literally wrote down notes and a commentary. I was reading, I had Logo software, and I was reading and just absorbing as much as possible. I was under the tutelage, the spiritual covering of Pastor Jack. I was there, you know, twice a week, absorbing as much as I could, being a part of the body of the church there. And it's really important to not only have the doctrine, but to be living the doctrine. And so that's something, of course, that Pastor Jack teaches emphatically. And the book basically chronicles my experience, how I grew up. And then I've divided it into five chapters. So it's basically self. So the ability to conquer selfish desires and to be filled with the Spirit. And then family, because no man could be, you know, in ministry without having control over his own household. So the Lord built me this family. I learned how to raise kids. I actually was not a very good parent until I became saved in Christ. So it was, I was learning all of these really important skills about running a family and how that would be applied in ministry. And then from there, doctrine, religion, what did I believe? How was I going to defend what I believed? How was I able to explain the hope that I have in Christ? And then society and politics, taking all of my experience in my career, national security that spanned, you know, 20 plus years. And now as a soldier of Christ, what would I do to empower myself and people that read the book and other listeners of our podcast to be living fearless in Christ?
Praise God. Just to hear the fact that you used Logo software. I mean, this is now, you've been a believer 7 years. There are people that have been believers for decades and don't use a Bible commentary or Logo software, or they don't study. And I believe you really need to in order to get just the whole picture, the full word of God and understanding. There's one thing I was going to ask you before we take a very brief pause. Going back to your experience, from what I remember, you were in Lebanon at one point, and before you came to the U.S., and you were pregnant. Tell us about that briefly, and then we'll take a break.
Well, I had money from a private foundation to set up a community center. Based on my career, they wanted us to test it out in Beirut. And this was actually in 2006. And what happened is the war broke out with Israel and the airport blew up. And so I find out I have a miraculous pregnancy. They told me I would never get pregnant. And here I was pregnant, stuck in the middle of a war and had to escape in a friend's car out of the trunk. You know, I was hidden in the trunk and then had to get over the border from Syria to Cyprus back to the United States. And so it was part of a harrowing experience, but it was a really... it was a difficult time in my life, and it was at a point where I was really embedded in my career and really determined to solve this problem, which, of course, the Islamic radicalization problem I have never solved. And the only solution is for, you know, the extremists to find Jesus. It's really for all Muslims to find Jesus.
Amen. Well, we've got to take a brief pause. We're with Hedia Miramati Falco. The website is resurrectministry.com. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey, friends, thank you so much for your support and your prayers. We've got people working behind the scenes, and you're sharing the podcast. It's getting out there and growing the audience like I never expected. And from what I was told recently, we're averaging 250,000 podcast downloads and views and listens. And I don't know how all that works, but we're getting out there and under God's sovereignty. So thank you, Jesus. Back to our guest, Hedia. Wanted to ask you one thing. Was one of the things that attracted you to the gospel and Jesus and the truth of the Bible the assurance that we have as believers? Because in Islam, there is no assurance. They don't know. They're going to try to do their best according to the rules of Islam, and they have no assurance of paradise, salvation. Talk to us a little bit about that.
It was the most important thing, eternal security. It was because I was so devout, and I usually do things to the best of my ability, and I could be very dedicated to things that I put my heart and passion into. And I felt like nobody could tell me I was going to reach the destination. So all of the struggle, all of the devotion wouldn't promise me heaven. And I thought, this is so strange. Why can't anybody give me a benchmark? And they couldn't. And so when I took off my head cover and I was condemned like that, I said, this is absolutely ridiculous, because all my good deeds, all the fasting, all the prayer, all the worship was not good enough. I was going to be condemned for a piece of fabric. And the religion unraveled. It made absolutely no sense to me anymore. And so when I heard the gospel and understood that Jesus, that you turn to him and repent, and that he, for his finished work on the cross, we are saved, I was just mesmerized. It was a radical transformation in my life.
So you've heard the expression, other religions are about works. Most of them do. Christianity is done, because Jesus said it is finished. Right?
Amen.
On the cross, he did the work. And it really is amazing, to just mind-boggling that God would love us that much to send his son to die for us. But anyway, really briefly, we had Cheryl Chumley on the podcast a couple weeks ago. I love having her on, and I love her writing and reporting and her books. But what was the topic? You were talking about Muslims coming to Christ. Where was it at? A pretty quick Muslims turning to Christ in droves. Tell us a little bit about that, because we hear that some are having dreams and visions that, that don't necessarily have Christian influence in their country or in their lives. Was that part of the conversation? Go ahead and share.
Yes, absolutely. I was on Cheryl's podcast, and we were talking about, so the fastest growing church in the world is Iran. And it's interesting that,
The fastest growing Christian church?
Yes. Yeah. The fastest growing Christian church is in Iran. And that is just by growth of word of mouth and the gospel moving and the Holy Spirit moving in people's lives. And that's, of course, when it's forbidden. And even though it's forbidden and people risk life and limb in order to be followers of Christ, it is still spreading like wildfire. And I think that's basically the result of the juxtaposition against a very grotesque interpretation of Islam. And people are suppressed and oppressed, and they just hate the hegemony that the mullahs have. And so the spirit of Christ moving with compassion and love and justice is just so appealing to people. And then here in the United States and across Europe, similar to my own conversion, I did not convert in a church or through Christians. I converted online through YouTube. So God is moving in these miraculous ways in people's lives. I have friends that had dreams and visions. I audibly heard the voice of Christ call my name. I think Muslims have a very difficult time leaving behind culture and family and all of their tradition to turn to Christ. And so he really shows up in these extraordinary ways.
So back to your book, Living Fearless in Christ, part of the description talks about that you reveal the powerful truth that you discovered only Christ breaks every chain. When you're chained to a religion or a system, it can be a heavy weight. It can feel like bondage, but it's really supposed to be something spiritual to help you through life and maybe even peace, but it is, in fact, bondage. I like the way that's described. Only Christ breaks every chain. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Sure. In Islam, you're put through this rigorous marathon of activities, of things that you're obligated to do. Mm-hmm. And they're heavy, the weight of them. I mean, even just wearing a scarf, facing that kind of criticism and ostracization from mainstream society was a very heavy burden. I used to tell my friends, I hate wearing this thing every day, and it never got any easier for me. So combine that with the social limitations, the rituals that you had to perform. They were a weight, they were a cage, because there's no light in them. You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. God doesn't talk to you. It's a one-way communication. And in the end, you don't even know if you're saved. So it is only through the Spirit of the living God living in you that you feel that sense of freedom. We obey God's commandments out of love, out of what he did for us on the cross. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different transformational process that occurs from the inside towards the outside, rather than Islam trying to superimpose a restriction from the outside, hoping it's going to change the inside. And it never did. I tell the story in my book how I was, you know, abusing alcohol and promiscuous and had a very wild lifestyle. And then I spent 25 years in a cage in Islam. And when I left, I became just as broken and vulnerable as I was as a 24-year-old. And it was just even more devastating to me that none of it stuck, none of the discipline stuck. And that just was further proof to me that it was a false religion.
Mm. You made me, when you're talking about that, it made me think about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you know, not by works. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it also says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that's hard for a lot of people. That gets a lot of people right there. What do you mean it's a gift? I don't have to do anything to earn it. I can't be better. I can't get to a different level. I can't. And that's just our mentality, I think, as a human being. Sometimes we need to work for it. But really briefly now, let's take a brief transition. You write for the Christian Post, and you've done an article recently on USAID, and we've been learning a lot. Thank God for the Trump administration with DOGE and what they're finding out, the corruption, the fraud, everything else that's been going on, our money, taxpayer money. And I want to just read a part of this and I'll let you continue whatever you want to share. You say, I'll never forget the time I witnessed a meeting at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul when the ambassador was screaming at the USAID representative for lying to him about a school they claimed was built on the outskirts of the country. He had personally flown in a helicopter the day before, and the supposed buildings were not erected. There was nothing there. Share more of the article, and people can go look that up over at the Christian Post, because it came out on February 11. Share a little bit more about that and your insights there.
Sure. It's the corruption. So I was a federal contractor throughout my career. It was a variety of different agencies. It was, you know, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Justice. I was a sub for one of the VOLAGs, which is the resettlement agencies that were not only responsible for refugees, but most recently in the Biden administration for resettling illegal immigrants. And I just realized that it was literally a racket for the NGOs and charities and for-profit entities to siphon money away from the US government. So either we were doing corrupt practices, toppling governments that we didn't like for one reason or another, or we were just siphoning off, you know, billions of dollars in aid to line the pockets of executives and other charity workers here in the United States, or to support political causes. The USAID turned into an arm of the CIA to basically do all the dirty work that they didn't want to do directly. And I just think, as a Christian, as a biblically based nation, it's disgusting for us to be so hypocritical and to advance these kind of corrupt policies and, you know, supporting transgenderism and, you know, a lesbian play and a gay Sesame Street and what all the other range of things that you see that have now been uncovered by DOGE, that as biblically based Americans, that we would be condoning and supporting such things. And so I say in the article, the enemy, they use the philosophy that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I said, no, it's just another enemy. And I'm just really excited that they're exposing it all. And people say, well, this is not going to solve the debt crisis. And I said, well, yeah, we're not trying to solve the debt crisis with USAID. We're trying to have radical transparency to expose the hypocrisy and corruption on behalf of the American people. Yes. I mean, we have friends and neighbors and people in this country that can't afford a dozen eggs right now because of the inflation and all the corruption. So we owe it to them. I'm so grateful that the U.S. government, the Trump administration, wants to expose these things. So at least we could show the American people that they value their tax dollars and that they'll be spent on legitimate, effective, God-honoring principles.
Yeah, it is infuriating. We've got homeless veterans. We've got people living under the poverty level. We've got people that have just gone through, you know, floods and different tragedies. Right. And it's just when you think of our money, U.S. taxpayer, American hardworking citizens going overseas to these radical, immoral causes, and then you see people resisting it. In the last 2 minutes here, I want to hear your thoughts on those that are saying, wait a minute, they're all, you know, Trump and Musk are, this is a constitutional crisis. And they're not saying thank you for helping us uncover some of this. Go ahead.
I think the average American is extremely grateful. I think what you see are now unemployed leftists who were siphoning money, you know, sponging off the U.S. government, that are organizing themselves to push back, which is going to be ineffective because the average American says, you know, this was horrible. Why were we doing this? But the radical left just wants to continue the gravy train doing these, you know, illicit, immoral projects because they were making money off of it. And that we cannot let that stand, and we shouldn't be deterred by that. Oftentimes, policy shifts based on media attention, but I'm so glad the president and his cabinet are not going to be swayed by such ridiculous problems.
Yes, praise God for the direction we're finally seemingly going in. But what a blessing it was to have you on today. I just want to make sure people go to resurrectministry.com. And I love saying your name, Hedia Miramati Falco. I almost said it with an Italian dialect, but I held back that time.
I like
that. Yeah, so your podcast, people can look that up, but I want to make sure they go to your book on Amazon, Living Fearless in Christ. Read the whole story, friends, in detail, why she left Islam to now win battles for the kingdom. Praise God, Hedia. I'm so thankful that you're on, well, we are on God's side. I was going to say you're on our side, but no, we are on God's side together. Yes. So good to be fighting this fight with you. Lord willing, we'll do this again. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, David. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. What a blessing. Oh, Lord, it's just so encouraging to hear these stories from people that are now just really doing work for Christ. I wish all Christians would have some sort of transformation like that. But anyway, God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.